I always like transitions in songs because, you know, I'm very lyrical in my content. I'm basically a, you know, a rapper, if you will, how I flow. You know. But I just always like little things in songs. That's and I love when that song when it goes, "Our God is mighty to save," to the notion of "You are mighty to save." I just always like that little shift there in the song. It's a neat little thing to think about going from singing from God being a concept to God being personal. And I really think, as we talk about who God is and what God's about, I think the notion of relationship is so important, because it's not, we can think of God in terms of conceptual language, conceptual thoughts, but it's relational. It's the relationship that makes a difference. What makes a difference in your life? What's changed you? I'm going to guarantee every major life change that's affected you in some way has been a relationship. I don't know about you, but when I had two different younguns born, that kind of changed my life. You know, as I've served churches, that's changed my life. As I've developed friendships, that's changed my life. Things that truly impact and change us 9 times out of 10 are tied into relationships. So within God, within the domain of God, it's not just a conception of God that matters. It's your relationship with God that matters. It's relational that matters. Today is a Sunday. There's really no major, you know, you wouldn't have any reason to know this unless you, I guess, worked at the church or been here for a while. Today's Sunday is a little bit different. Today's the Sunday where our church is in mission at base camp. That's why please none of y'all take a picture of me, put it on any of my Facebook pages, because I've been preaching 15 years. First time I ever preached in a t-shirt. And as my seminary professors found out I preached in a t-shirt, they would take my degree back. Like they would go to my office and take my seminary degree back and say, "No, you don't preach in t-shirts." But I'm wearing black socks at least. That's got to count for something, right? Black socks. That's something, right? But it's a day where you look around and say, "Well, where are Asbury Church known for its youth ministry? Where are most of the youth at?" They're at day camps across Petaluma and Hattiesburg right now. They're cutting grass. They are working on housing projects. They are doing all types of things all over the Pine Belt. You look around saying, "Hey, we're so-and-so." Well, they're probably out there working with those youth in those projects. So we have about 150 people from Asbury right now, between adults and youth and others, that are out serving right now, which is really cool. And so today we're going to talk a little about, you know, in this series we're going right now, we're talking about kind of who you are as a church. And it's really, you almost can, we've got it lined out for you who you are as a church right now. But when I first got here a few years ago, we talked a lot about salt and light. And it was like I talked about with Wyatt when we christened him, the notion of the fact that we don't arrive fully formed. It takes years of learning and growing, and we don't just magically become the person we want to become. But we become who we want to become through effort and through God's grace and through God's mercy and through community and through all these type of things. And so within faith, it's the community and the faith and the life and the grace and the word and the teaching and all the stuff of church that really God uses to transform us into who He needs us to be. It's like the way in families, like the way in church. And so when I first got here, we talked a lot about salt and light as a concept. And I thought, okay, that's wonderful. But what does that mean? And so we've talked a lot these last few years about what it means to be salt and light. It starts off with knowing Jesus better. John 17:3, "I pray that they may know eternal life, which is to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ." In other words, it starts with knowing Jesus. Not just knowing a concept of Jesus, not believing the historical fact of Jesus, but knowing Him and having been impacted and changed by His life. So it starts with knowing Jesus. And once you know Jesus, then you're going to spend the rest of your life knowing Him better. Because think about the beauty of relationships. Relationships are amazing when you know each other for a little bit. I mean, you want to have your friendship grow? You want to like really have a life-changing friendship? Get into a knockdown, drag-out argument and see if you're still friends after. Because most of our lives, most of our marriages, I remember the first real fight Holly and I had. You know, it's funny. I grew up in a family that was, you know, I always jokingly say my family put the fun in dysfunction. She grew up in a normal family. So our first fight, I'm like, okay, well, we've had a good run. I guess it ends now. Because I grew up with the notion, okay, well, there's conflict, so it's going to end very soon. And I realized, oh, wow, she's going to stick with me. This is different. I'm not used to this right here. This is very different. And our relationship grew from that. We grow from the rough times. Well, that started with Jesus. We grow from the times of challenge. We grow from the times of struggle. We grow from the times of dryness. Sometimes, you ever been in a place, maybe you're here right now, where man, you're praying hard. Like you're trying to do right. You're praying, you're reading the word, you're going to worship, and you're really trying your best. And it's like your prayers shoot up and hit, and go old school here, it's like Dikembe Mutombo is spiritually in your house. And he's swatting down your prayers. No. Remember Dikembe? Am I always like those commercials? You remember that commercial? Yeah, I remember that commercial. No, thank you, Rocky. Rocky, you remember the commercial? No. He blocked. There, Bo got it too. Okay, thank you. At least I got two of y'all that like my jokes. I'll take that. But you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. You ever felt that way? You know what the easy thing to do at that point is to stop praying. What I put forth to you is this. Keep praying. Because when you keep praying, even when you don't feel it, then you're being obedient. You know what God does? He blesses obedience. And you know what happens when you're obedient when it's tough? Is you grow. Think about lifting weights. I'm opposed to it because they're heavy. But when you lift weights, it tears down your muscles and they grow back stronger. In matters of faith, the easy thing to do is to quit when it gets hard. That's not just matters of faith, that's life. What I put forth to you is keep pushing. I guarantee if you keep pushing, God will bless it. God will bless it. So we know Jesus when we accept him, we follow him, and then we know him better throughout the rest of our life. Well, preacher, how do we do that? Well, okay, that's how we do it. We say at Asbury, you read, you pray, and you go to church. Reading and praying, you read your Bible, you are constantly in his word. We've got to be in his word, both on an individual basis and a collective basis as a church. We've got to be approaching God's word at all times. You pray, you listen, you spend time with him. It's hard to be in a relationship with somebody you're never around. When Holly and I were dating long distance, when she was finishing her master's at Southern and I was preaching in the Delta, we spent a lot of time on the phone. I've told y'all, this is back when we were young and in love. Now we're just married. And now, you know, back then, it was, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. Now we just text. It's a lot easier, a lot more efficient. But when we were separated by that distance, we made a promise to each other. We would see each other once a month. We were going to be physically around each other at least one time a month, because you need to be present. With God, we need to be present through the word, through prayer. And then we say go to church, but go to church is not a perfect phrase. By going to church, we mean be part of the community. That does mean weekly worship. Worship matters. Through a small group, or a place where you're transformed and challenged and you're held accountable and you grow and you admit your mistakes and you laugh and you have a good time and you read the word together. And then where we're going today, through service. And when we do that, we know him and know him better. When we read, pray, and go to church, then we become salt and light. And we make a tremendous difference in the life of the world. Last week we talked about here, the stuff of church. Talked about all the stuff we do. Like, I'm telling you right now, after 4 days of base camp, I need coffee. Just, if anyone want to give me some coffee now, I'd take it. You know, it's just... So the holiest thing I may have experienced this morning has been coffee this morning. So thank you, Pat Milligan. That matters. The greeters matter. The board of trustees matter. Finance committee matters. The stuff, the infrastructure of church that we do, it matters. Why? Not because it exists for itself, but it exists to give our church the ability to impact people for Jesus. I don't know where you are in your life right now. You may be on the most spiritual high you've ever experienced in your life. You may be one stiff breeze away from being knocked over. I know that no matter where you are, Jesus Christ stands ready to meet you. And the reason why we do the stuff of church, the reason why this matters, is because we get the chance, for the next 20 minutes or so, I had the chance to impact you with the gospel. And that's amazing. And every Sunday when we gather together, we had the chance to impact each other for the gospel. So for folks that don't know Jesus, it's a chance to know Him, to get to experience a God that loves you for more than your job, or your status, or your position, or your popularity, but a God who loves you because He made you. So every Sunday, we get a chance to experience that. But then for those of us that know Jesus, one of my favorite verses is from the book of Philemon, which says, may you be constantly reminded, be active in sharing your faith, that you're reminded of what a good thing you have in Christ Jesus. Jesus loves you. No matter what. And in a world that tears us down and breaks us down, and we're never good enough, we never have enough, when we're never powerful enough, or pretty enough, or strong enough, or smart enough, to know that there's a God who simply loves us as we are is mind-blowing. And we can forget that. We can forget that we're simply loved because we are. Are we imperfect? Of course we're imperfect. Do we blow it? Of course we do. Are we going to mess up in the next 5 minutes? I know I am. I'm going to say something dumb. And God's still going to love me. We got to remember that. We got to remember that. So the reason why this matters is because the folks that don't know Him can know Him. Those of us that do can know Him better. Well, but we don't just do it here in church. We do it outside the walls. When I was in the Delta, my little church there, Boyle, Mississippi, that church on a good Sunday had 18 people. That church ran a daycare for 30 kids. They had more folks in their daycare than they did people in their church. You know why? That community needed daycare. And if the church doesn't meet the needs of the community, then why is the church there? If the church isn't trying to impact its community and meet the needs of that community, then why does that church exist? Because we don't exist for ourselves. Jesus makes that abundantly clear when He says, go. When He says, go to the world, making disciples, He makes it abundantly clear that somebody would put it like this, the church is the only organization that exists for those that are not yet members. The church is the only organization that exists for those that are not yet members. We don't live for ourselves, we live for Him and for them. Now, if we do that, we're going to be loved on and cared for and blessed, so it's okay, but we got to keep that as our focus. So there was this church that literally had 18, 20 people on Sundays and ran a daycare of 30 kids on Mondays through Fridays. My church in Ripley. Just a little county seat church, great people. About 20 years ago, they made the dumb decision to have a daycare. And they fought like cats and dogs were from that daycare. The pastor that was there when they started it basically got ran off over it. Basically, he got ran off. And that daycare changed the life of that church. And now they're a thriving church in a good community. You know why? Because they're trying to impact their community. They're trying to meet people where they are with the grace of Jesus Christ. Some of the folks in this room remember this. But my first meeting I had with our, what we call, the SPRC, Staff Parish Relations Committee. Some of you know what that means. For those of you that don't know what that means, that's basically our personnel committee. That's kind of the best way to describe it. It's our personnel committee. When I had my first meeting with the personnel committee here at Asbury, I sat in the room with them. And, you know, for those of you that were here at the time, know our church was kind of in a little rut, if you will. Things weren't going that well. And I told the committee, I said, I'm not here to grow your church. I'm not here to meet a budget. I'm not here to pay our conference askings. I'm here to help us build the kingdom. And if we build the kingdom, God will take care of the church. We focus on the church, God may kill it. But if we focus on the kingdom of God, if we focus on God's mission and God's vision for us, God will grow his church, because the Bible says that the gates of hell will not triumph against Christ and his church. So if we focus on God's vision and God's mission for us, nothing will stop his church. If we focus on the church, then we kind of miss the point. So we're supposed to be out there loving the community, loving the world, making a difference, taking the gospel with us everywhere we go. And so we're all called to that. The biggest mistake we make in church is we make ministry preaching. What do I mean by that? Called to ministry means called to be a preacher. Well, you're not called to be a preacher, so you're not called to ministry. I mean, why do you want to be a missionary? That's what you got me for. I mean, you don't have to do, I mean, I'm the professional Christian. What do you got to do? I mean, that's what I get paid for, right? To be the professional Christian? If we're not careful, that's what we think. You may or may not be called to put full-time vocational ministry, but you know what? If you're a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, you're called to something. And until you live that out, you won't know your purpose. We're all called to ministry. And okay, here's what's scary. Well, preacher, I'm a hypocrite. Me too. Actually, you're not a hypocrite, nor am I. A hypocrite is somebody they're not. You know how you become a hypocrite? Be self-righteous. If you're self-righteous, you'll become a hypocrite. Because if you're self-righteous, you'll think you're awesome and perfect and sinless, and you can look down your righteous nose at others. So the pathway to hypocrisy begins with self-righteousness. But if you say this, yeah, I mess up all the time. And you know what? God still loves me. Be okay. Hypocrisy begins and ends with self-righteousness and judgment. Ministry begins and ends with God's grace. So we're all called to be ministers wherever we are. Well, I can't preach in my job, preacher. They'll fire me. I'm not saying preach in your job. You know what I'm saying? When your coworker that you really like to smack in the face in Jesus' name deserves a good smacking in the face, don't smack him in the face. That's faithful. John Wesley had three rules. First, do no harm. So don't smack them tomorrow. Just, you may want, in your mind, visualize smacking them. Then don't do that. You know, it'll help. But just don't linger too long in there, because then you'll start planning things. Sometimes being in ministry just means, in a world full of judgment, why don't you be the nice one? In a world where people get beat up, why don't you just be nice? Why don't we be different? This is one of the verses I've hammered to kids this week at base camp and hammered to leaders at base camp. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an account for the hope that you have. The joke I always make is you tell folks you're a Christian, they go, really? You're a Christian? It's not a good sign. Our lives should proclaim the gospel. Now, we should proclaim the gospel with our mouths as well, but your life is the greatest proclamation of the gospel you'll ever have. We're all called to do that. Why? We aren't called to do it to wave the banner of Asbury. We aren't called to do it to wave the banner of any group. We're called to do it because it helps people know Jesus better. When we are faithful, when we're faithful with the gospel, it helps people to know Jesus. It helps them to know Jesus. And it helps us to know him better. When we're faithful with the gospel, it helps people to know Jesus. It helps us know him better. That's amazing. I've said this before. I don't want to grow a church. I don't want to settle for that. I want to change the world. Some of y'all, if you've come to base camp this week, or you may know this guy, some of you may know Mike Dixon. Mike is a pastor of a church in Hattiesburg called Ecclesia. Mike's a great guy, a good friend. Ecclesia is a church that meets on Sunday nights over in downtown Hattiesburg. And they have in the last few years, they've adopted, I don't want to lie to you, I can't remember the name of the school in Hattiesburg, but it's one of the schools in Hattiesburg that was failing. It was literally on the risk of being the whatever the lowest F grade you can get as a school, they were there. And this church decided, we're going to adopt this school. We're going to adopt it. And they poured hundreds of thousands of dollars. They poured hundreds of hours of their church into this school. And this school's gone from being a failing school to being a B school. That's amazing. You know what they've done? They have literally saved the lives of children. Literally. That's helping people know Jesus better. That's helping us know Jesus and people know Jesus better. That's what that means. A few months back, my friend Audra Rester called me. Audra was the principal of Petal Upper. Her husband Eddie and her recently have gone to heaven before they died. They've moved to Oxford now. And so they've got a foretaste right now of heaven. But she called me to say, hey, Andy, you're going to adopt Petal Upper Elementary School. I said, I am. She's like, well, your church is. I'm like, we are? She's like, yes, y'all are. I'm like, okay, cool. And then I came down and said, hey, okay, tell me what this means. We started talking about it. I said, Audra, I said, I don't want, like, there's things I say no to on behalf of our church a lot. Believe it or not, y'all might find this hard to believe. For our church, I say no more than I say yeah. I don't do that for myself, but I say no more than I say yeah. I'll tell you why. If we're going to do something, we're going to do it right. If we're going to put the weight of our church behind something, then dadgummit, we're going to do it right. So I said, okay, if we're going to adopt Petal Upper, let's talk about what that means. So we began to talk about and dream about what that meant. What would it look like? And what would it mean for our church to get behind and adopt Petal Upper Elementary School? And that's, by the way, that's no knock on any of the other schools or other school districts here. One of the things I love about Asbury is we've got lots of schools represented here, lots of school districts represented here. I love the fact that one day I did a map of where our kids are, where our adults are. It's pretty awesome. But why particularly Petal Upper Elementary? Well, first, because Alder told me I was going to do it. That's reason number one. Second is this. I don't have the stats, but I need to get the stats. And in many ways, Upper Elementary is that last chance for a kid before they hit middle school. And if a kid hits middle school, not at reading level, The chances of them not graduating go up every year. In many ways, Petal Upper is the firewall. If we don't reach at Petal Upper, it's going to be hard to get you to middle school. We can do it. God can do a lot of stuff, but Upper's kind of that firewall. I said, okay, we're going to do it. And we're going to throw the full weight of our church behind it. What does that mean? You're going to be hearing opportunities in the next few weeks about ways you can plug in breakfast clubs with the kids, mentoring the kids, spending time with the kids, supporting the schools, supporting the kids. But here's what we're going to do. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. One of the things we're going to do this year for Petal Upper, and by the way, other churches have adopted the other schools, so we're not neglecting any of the school. But actually what we're going to do, I'm going to email the other preachers and challenge them to do it, is what I'm going to do. See if we can kind of start some trouble in Petal and try to get everybody on the same page. I like to start trouble. It's kind of one of my hobbies. That's why Holly won't let me speak at conference, because I'll say something dumb and get in trouble. You know, teachers never have to spend any of their own personal money on supplies, do they? Teachers? You know, never spend any money on supplies ever. Everybody that started teaching, they're doing it just for the money, because it's a very lucrative profession. So they've just got money coming out of their ears as teachers. Our church is going to make sure that every teacher at Petal Upper Elementary School gets a $25 gift certificate or $25 gift card from Walmart to buy school supplies with. Why can't we do that? Why can't we blow down the door on that? I'll just not go to Starbucks one day. There's $25. We're done. That's one for me. But seriously, what's stopping us? What's stopping us from being faithful? Seriously, y'all. I mean, I'm fixing to get excited to start preaching. What's stopping us from changing Petal? Seriously, what's holding us back? You know what's holding us back? Us. That's all that's holding us back is us. Is us being faithful, us digging a little bit deeper, us pushing a little bit harder, us doing a little bit more for Jesus. We're what's holding us back sometimes. We can do it. And here's what I've learned. I've learned this at base camp this week. We've made a mistake with grace. We've made a mistake with grace. We've often believed the most powerful grace we can experience is the grace of forgiveness. And like, we may all struggle with the grace of forgiveness, what that means. Like, we can struggle with understanding that grace, that we are forgiven and it isn't earned. That forgiveness is not earned, that forgiveness is received. We struggle with that. Some of us feel like we've got to earn it. Sometimes we feel like we've done too much to be forgiven. But we all kind of intellectually get the notion of forgiveness. Like, we all kind of get it. We may struggle with understanding how to get it or why we get it, but we all understand that we desire forgiveness. Every one of us. That's kind of a natural human instinct. We've done something dumb, we want to be forgiven. Sure, that's natural. I've come to understand that it isn't the grace of forgiveness that changes us the most. There's a grace that's even greater than that that changes us. It's the grace when God uses us. Because most of us don't think He can. When God uses you, when God does something in you, when the sovereign God of heaven uses you as His instrument, when God somehow looks past our faults and our weaknesses and our mistakes and our past and our present and our future, when He looks past the dumb things we've done, the dumb things we're going to do, and then the dumb things we're doing, and the dumb things I really want to do tomorrow, when He looks past all that and says, I'm going to use you for My purpose, there is nothing more life transformative than when Jesus uses you. And that's why we've got kids out there sweating their tails off right now serving. Because they find something in that they can't find in popularity. They find something that they can't find on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or Tinder or any of those things. They find something that they can't find in fame and sex and popularity. They find something that they are wanting to find. They find that grace that is so much greater than anything. And I put forth that we as adults are the exact same. We want that worth. We want that power. We want that feeling. We want to know that we're valued, that we're used, that we're prized, that we're sacred. And so we experience forgiveness, and that's awesome. But I'm telling you, friends, there's something better. This is stupid to say. There's something better than forgiveness. That's being used by a sovereign God. That's when the God of heaven, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Jesus, the God of Paul, the God of Peter, when this God says, you are mine, and I'm going to use you for this, ball game. Ain't nothing better. Ain't nothing better. This morning, what's stopping you from experiencing that grace? Not Him. That's why it's called grace. I'm talking to somebody this morning about foot washing. I don't know if you've ever been to a foot washing service. We're going to do one after the church. You want to stay? I'm just joking. We're not. We're not. But he said, and I've been to a foot washing service. He said, Andy, what's more humbling, washing someone's feet or having your feet washed? I said, oh, having your feet washed by far. Because when I'm washing your feet, I'm in control. I'm doing something. So yes, I'm humbling myself as the humble servant that I am. Yes, look at me. I'm just like Jesus. But when you wash my feet, it's embarrassing. I don't want you to wash my feet. I want to wash your feet. I don't want to be receiving grace. I want to be in control. The key with grace is this. If you don't ever remember a single thing I ever tell you, other than Ole Miss is going to win the Egg Bowl this year, remember this. I hope we really win the Egg Bowl, because I could have just stepped in it right there. Grace is not earned. It's received. Stop trying to earn it. Receive it. Stop trying to be good enough to be forgiven. Stop trying to be good enough to be used. Simply allow God to forgive you. And allow God to use you. And I'm telling you, church, when you allow God to use you, it will forever change your life. My theory on why most churches won't try anything new, it's my theory. I presented it to other churches and they look at me funny sometimes, but I think it's true. I think it's true. The reason why most churches won't change or try things new or do things different or just be afraid to make mistakes is this. They've never seen somebody really get saved. Now, they've seen people join the church. They've taken in new members. But they've never seen somebody go from darkness to light. And let me tell you, church, if you've ever seen somebody go from darkness to light, there's nothing better. There's nothing better. I have. It is pretty awesome. And there's nothing that I won't do to see it happen more often. I don't want you to settle for just the grace of forgiveness. That's great, but we stay there. If you want to really live, don't stay with the grace of forgiveness alone. Move to the grace of being used by God. I'm telling you, that's when He'll change your life. We know Jesus better. Read our Bible and pray and go to church. We're faithful. And He uses us. This morning, our sovereign God wants to use us for His glory. He wants you to know that grace. Today, I don't know about y'all, but I want to live. You know? Life too short not to live. Man, life too short to go through the motions. Life too short to just exist. I want to live. I want to blow the doors out this place. I want to leave a legacy to my children. I want them to know that I told you about the time I tried to jump through a barbed wire fence. I'll tell you all a story. I used to watch Dukes of Hazzard when I was a kid. They were all, but I had two, I told you this before. I know I told you this before. I had two dogs when I was a little boy, Bo and Luke. Yes, they were named after what you think they're named after. Bo and Luke Duke. So I used to love Dukes of Hazzard when they'd slide across the hood of the car. Well, that was cool. I don't care who you are, that was cool. So I'm a larger person. So I don't slide well on cars, but I thought that I could. So I used to try to slide through things and jump through things. One day we were walking with some buddies of mine, and there was a barbed wire fence that had a big gap in it. I thought, you know, I bet I can jump through that. So I started running, and I jumped through it. It's going to shock you. I didn't make it. Caught me right here. Yeah. Still got a scar. And a good story. And I remember that. Left a mark. I don't leave a mark on pedal. I don't leave a mark on the pine belt. I don't leave a mark on this place, the world. I don't want to just exist. I want to leave a mark. If you allow God's grace to impact your life, if you allow that grace to actually use you, I promise you, you'll leave a mark. Let's pray.